As we lead into Easter, we decided to use some of the material that to reflect about our relationship with God as a Christians. So we are going to be talking the following weeks about the journey of Jesus. But this morning, I'm going to reflect. My subject is a mission statement for our spiritual journey. A mission statement for our spiritual journey. Thank you. And let's finish with this. And the text this morning I have is from the book of Luke. So if I can help me with the PowerPoint, apparently I can. Yeah, thank you. Chapter 4, verses 14 to 21. And these are the words of Jesus. And this is what happened to him when he started his ministry. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 to 21. I'm going to read from the NIV, and you can follow on the screen. It says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up and read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Let us pray. Lord, we want to spend this time, this half an hour or so, around your word. Father, may your Holy Spirit help us to receive what you have prepared for us to receive. We confess we are sinners and thank you for your love and mercy. But Father, meet with us this morning because we come in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The context of the passage is that we have Jesus' baptism. We have some baptisms, you know, the baptism last couple of weeks. And then we have that he start his mission. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, he goes to the wilderness, into the wilderness. We are going to be reflecting upon that as well the next couple of weeks. But he comes back to his own town and he goes to the synagogue. He goes to the synagogue and we read that He started reading and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me, he has sent me to preach good news." That is Jesus. And then here, many scholars say that here Jesus is declaring his mission statement. His mission statement. This is all about the Messiah. And he quoted the words of the prophet Isaiah 61. And therefore, he should go without saying that we as Christians, we are called to understand our purpose and mission in accordance with Jesus' understanding of his purpose and mission. This is Jesus' mission statement. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." This was not just a place where he started reading, you know, from the scroll, from the prophet Isaiah. It was a proclamation to the effect of his messianic ministry. And it was possible because he had the power of the Holy Spirit. And now, this affirmation takes on a special significance when a person recognized that it was in the same power that Jesus was walking on this planet that we should be walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? We are supposed to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we are doomed. When Jesus announced, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled just as you heard it," he is proclaiming that the promised liberating work of the Holy Spirit of God was present in him. And now today, my text is from verse 18, the verses that we read. Here, verse 18, we summarize the Messiah's ministry. Verse 18 of Luke chapter 4. And we have four images, four metaphors that portray Jesus' mission. And those images should be our metaphors and our mission. Because if we are not doing it that way, we are making a mistake. Now, the first thing, you know, we need to understand, as I said last week, that we have a problem. What is the problem of humanity? Sin. Our God is holy, holy, holy. And we as humans, when we are being born, we are born into sin. So we are sinners. We cannot touch a holy God. So the wages of sin is death. But God has given us something, a gift, which is whom? The Messiah, the Lord. So this verse 18 portrays how we deal with this problem. And the first thing is that the Messiah will preach the gospel to whom? To the poor. Shall we say it together? The Messiah will preach the gospel to the poor. Now, it's interesting, the writer of this book, the author, is Luke, and it's the same author who wrote the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is all about what? The church. And how the church was growing in the power of whom? The Holy Spirit. So Luke continue explaining to us the work of the Messiah. It is good news. The good news of the gospel is that the spiritually poor can find salvation. It's the only place that we can find salvation when we understand that we are spiritually poor. Now, this word poor in Greek conveys the idea of a beggar cringing in the shadows, covering in shame, you know. But now in spiritual terms, because Jesus is talking about the spiritually poor, not just the poor, the spiritually poor. One Bible scholar says, the poor are those who recognize that they have nothing by which commend themselves to God. You know, there are some people that they seem to think that because they come to church, they have been christened, they have been baptized, they have been doing something to people, they have somehow a right to get into the presence of a holy, holy, holy God. No, the spiritually poor are those who recognize that they have nothing by which commend themselves to God. They acknowledge their moral bankruptcy, that all their righteous deeds are nothing but a filthy garment. That is what the Messiah came to do. That is how everything departs. So the good news of the Messiah to us is when we are willing to admit that what is hard in our lives. We know we are struggling. We know that we cannot win this battle against sin. And that is because it's not good news in general. It will not be good news in general because we need to be spiritually poor. When we acknowledge spiritual poverty is not an act, it's something genuine. The book of Psalms says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. A spiritually poor person is humble. David, when he sings, he goes to the Lord in Psalm 51, in verse 17 says, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, you, God, will not despise. If I want to walk with the Messiah, I have to be spiritually poor. I have to acknowledge my sin. We have to be broken in spirit. Not waving a flag. God, you need to accept me as I am. That's what we see nowadays. People trying to make God to come in their own terms. That's wrong. The Messiah will not come and work. The Holy Spirit will not come and work upon us until we acknowledge our spiritual poverty. And a good example, do you remember in Luke chapter 18? The tax collector, you know, there was this religious man praying in the temple. God, thank you because I know a sinner. God, thank you because I know a woman. Thank you because I know a tax. You know, do you remember that prayer? And then next to him was a tax collector. And this, I like what the verse 13 said. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He could not even look up to heaven. But beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's my favorite prayer, by the way. When I don't have anything else to pray, I just go, God, have mercy. That is the journey when we realize our spiritual poverty. But sadly, sometimes we have the contrast. You know, in such a people declare, verse 14 of Luke chapter 18, they say, who went justifies, the tax collector or the religious man? The tax collector. But we have the other side of the table. Do you remember the seven churches in Revelation? Laodicea. Oh, these people, they were a kind, they thought they were a good church. And look, the message in Revelation chapter 3, it's horrible. You know, you read that chapter 3 and they said, you know, I'm about to vomit you. You think you are good? You are not cold, you are not hot, you are lukewarm. Oh, you want to be politically correct? I'm going to vomit you. It's hard. That is the message. Verse 17 says, you say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and I don't need anything. But you don't realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. They were not poor in spirit. We need to be poor in spirit. Oh, I don't need to go to church because I haven't killed anyone. I have my friends, you know, when I was younger, you know, my friends said, oh, you know, I haven't killed anyone. I have no steal money. I'm okay. I don't need that stuff. Pride. Read the message to this church. It's horrible. I hope I cannot be like that. The economically poor are not in view here. Some people, the church have to be looking after the poor. Yes. No, they are not in view here but they are often a fertile soil, you know, because their circumstances are so hard. And then you go and preach, they receive. You go to preach to poor countries and poor places, people will come to know the Lord because they are desperate. So the first metaphor, do you remember the first metaphor? The Messiah will preach the gospel to whom? To the poor, the spiritually poor. The second metaphor is this. Let's read it together. The Messiah. Freedom for the prisoner. We live in a free society. Praise be to God. Venezuela, Syria, and other places. It's difficult, isn't it? Thank you. We live in a society that's free. You know, free society. Power of right to act, speak, or to think as we want. But sometimes, when we are away from God, we confuse that freedom. And sometimes they see Christianity as invading on their right to be and do what they want to do. But that is a tragic deception. Sinners are not free. Remember, God is holy, holy, holy. I cannot get to him on my own terms. All sinners of God, an unpayable debt for violation of his law. You know, I was looking for, sometimes it's hard to understand this. People don't like to preach about the wrath of God, but that's the fact. Jonathan Edwards, when he preached his sermons, you know, in the revival, he was preaching about hell. He was preaching. But I will not do that this morning, okay? He was giving a description about hell, where we are going, and the people converted just like that. And then I was thinking, what am I going to share with you? Well, we are sinners, and the good news is that he did something for us. For the very first time, I received a penalty fee from Morrison's. And I was looking, I said, God, I was looking for an example, but not that example. And I tried ways around to get away with it. Impossible. And the only way to get it off that, I had to pay the penalty fee. And that's sin, my friend. No excuses. The people in charge of this Morrison car park, they were not merciful. Can you imagine God's going to be? You see the point? There was a young man preaching to his friends in college, and he left some flyers, you know, tracts, every single seat. He shared about his faith in his psychology class, and he went back to collect the tracts. The tracts start good news. Somebody has crossed out and put bad news. That's the reality for people. They think the gospel come to spoil their lives. But the reality is that we are slaves to sin. Romans chapter 6 verse 6 says that we were slaves to sin. The reality is that God sends, when, you know, have you noticed, you don't have to answer, you know, have you noticed, you know yourself, we know what we struggle with. Do you feel like a prisoner? That addiction that you have, that bad feeling you have about people, that prejudice, that lust. Listen to this two good news. Turn with me to Isaiah 42. This is God speaking with the Messiah. This is a beautiful passage from the book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verses 5 to 7. And the prophet says, you know, this is like God speaking to, said to the Messiah. Said, this is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to his people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. You say, he's the Father, and he calls the Messiah. I call you into righteousness. He will be the righteous one. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people. You know, you will be the covenant for my people of Israel. And then he says, and a light for the Gentiles. Praise be to God. I am not a Jew, so I am a Gentile. So that's it. So no, he will be my light. And then he says, shall we read together, verse 7? To open. The Messiah. And to release from the dungeons. The word release here, this the word apephesis, you know, means forgiveness. The word here means forgiveness. So the Messiah will set the spiritual prisoners, spiritually poor, spiritual priest, free by paying the penalty fee for the violation of the God's law. Praise be to God. Because we need to pay that price. I have to pay that penalty fee. You see the point? We have to. We are sinners. We go to hell. As simple as that, if we don't go to God. And the Messiah will come through his sacrificial death. You know, God, like I said last week, you know, the righteous one, Jesus Christ, righteousness credited to us. You know, that somebody say, well, I have to pay it, or somebody will pay it for me. I have to pay that price if I don't go to Christ. And then the believer, his guilt is credited to Jesus on the cross. That is what happened, my friend. That's what the Messiah came to do, to set us free. The last hymn we are going to have this morning, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues." The writer, you know, Charles Wesley, expresses this in his hymns. He breaks the power of counsel, saying, he sets, what? The prisoners free. The third picture is that the Messiah's mission was to provide recovery of spiritual sight to the blind. That's the third one. Spiritually poor, good news, release to the captive, recovery of sight, spiritual sight. Spiritual blindness is the natural condition of people who don't want to know about God. They will not understand. They will not see it. My friend, Jesus is love, but even in the words of Jesus, there is judgment. In John chapter 3, verses 19 to 20, this, you know, John chapter 3, verses 19 to 20 said, this is the verdict. All about justice. He said, light has come into the world. The Messiah has come into the world. But people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. The mission of the Messiah is to provide recovery of spiritual sight to the blind. You know, even there is, some scholars call it, you know, a judicially blindness. God judicially blind the minds of unrepentant sinners. But the Messiah came to open our spiritual eyes. The Apostle Paul talks about that blindness. When he received the message from Jesus, he said, you are to open their eyes, you know, when he was going to be preaching, and turn them from the darkness to the light and from the power of Satan to God, so that through their faith in me, wonderful, isn't it? So simple. Through their faith, they will have their sins forgiven and receive their place among God's chosen people. What a wonderful. The Messiah will open your eyes. Your spiritual blindness will not be there. Finally, the Messiah, shall we read together? This is the final metaphor, the final image. The Messiah came to set free. Release those who were captive, sight to those who are blind, freedom to those who are oppressed. There are people who are overwhelmed by circumstances. But you know what is the most overwhelming thing? When we don't know what to do with our sin. There are people that keep on sinning, that say, I don't want to do that, and you end up doing it. You know, we hear about the abuse in churches. And it's so sad. I have to, now I read an article from America. The Southern Baptist Convention is the convention I come from, you know, in America. Now they have been abused. You know why? I cry when I read that. Because that to me is that they are still spiritually oppressed. That you trust somebody who is a deacon, a minister, a leader, and yet abuse. But that doesn't mean that the gospel is bad news. That means that we have been disobedient. But there is mercy. The Messiah came to do that. Listen to the words of Jesus. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Are you feeling like that? My friend, Jesus has come to me. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is it? Well, the love of God, and maybe even when I leave, when you will not see me preaching from this pulpit, you will remember this, that our way to demonstrate our love to God is obedience. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, in fact, that this is love for God. This is how we can show love for God. Not because we are going, it's okay, go and serve the widows and the homeless. And all. No, just said, but he said, this is the love for God. To keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. They are not too hard for us. That's what Jesus said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We just obey him. But how does it work for us as I conclude this morning? God offer comfort to those who feel that they need that comfort. Not to those who say, I am okay. How do I, in this world, many of us spend so much time, you know, acting as we have everything together. You know, in this country, we are so blessed. If you don't have a job, people will give you benefit. If you are unwell, you go to hospital. If you need psychological health, you will, everything is here. Praise be to God for that. And sometimes, we don't realize that we are missing the most important, salvation. The stories that we tell ourselves, you know, the commercials, they say, if you buy this house, you will be happy. And then if you buy this car, if you have these holidays. But deep down, we know, don't we? We know that something is missing. You have this and then you want next one. Oh, if you have this career, praise the Lord, you have been blessed with a good career. But deep down, you know that something is missing in your heart. So while Jesus' message is good news, sometimes it looks like bad news. I don't want to hear that preacher. You know, sometimes I take funerals, and then in funerals, I will go for the deceased, but I will preach the gospel. And sometimes I say, oh, Lord, I'm giving. But when I praise the Lord, when sometimes people say, thank you. Because sometimes the good news of Jesus seems to bad news. You remember the rich young ruler? He was a good lad. He was a good citizen. He was a religious person. He raised up to Jesus all excited and asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus told him, you lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. That sometimes is us. The kingdom of God is insignificant. Our stuff is more important. Oh no, I cannot do that. I'm going to lose my friends. What people are going to think about me at work? I'm going to lose my family. Where your heart? Where is your heart? The rich young ruler, his heart was in his wealth. By the way, it's not that the gospel is only for the poor. We need rich people in churches, okay? Don't misunderstand that. You know, but you know, life is not about, you know, our life is having the best. You know, the X factor. And if I only have the more money, if I only have a nicer house. But Jesus Christ is talking about his kingdom. And in his kingdom, in Matthew chapter 25 says, I was hungry and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothes to wear. I was sick and you cared for me. But how is it that we need to do it? My friends, the only thing is that we do it the other way around. We do those things thinking we are ticking boxes to get to that holy, holy God. It's not the same. Let me finish with in Isaiah chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, very briefly, in Isaiah chapter 1, the prophet tell how God tell his people, you know, because they got it wrong as well. They say, who asked you to bring me all this when you came to worship me? Who asked you to do all this tramping around in my temple? They will bring in sacrifice. They will bring in worship. They will say, I don't want to hear that. What a horrible message. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 12, and you can carry on reading. He said, I don't want your worship. I don't want your services. And in verse 16 says, wash yourselves clean and stop all this evil that I see you doing. Yes, stop doing evil and learn to do right. Seek that justice is done. Help those who are oppressed. Give orphans their right and defend widows. Some people say, oh, we are doing that. Yes, but before we do that, verse 18 says, the Lord said, now let's settle the matter. Things have to be right. You are stained red with sin, but I will wash you as clean as snow. Although your stains are deep red, you will be as white as wool if you will only, what? Obey me. You will eat the good things the land produces. But if you defy me, you are doomed to die. That is what Jesus did for us. He settled the matter. And after that, we are going to serve him. You know, we become a church. We understand that we walk in the Holy Spirit and we welcome people. It doesn't matter what races they are. It doesn't matter the social status. We say, you know, are you afraid? You may come around us. Come, we will encourage you. Are you lonely? Come enjoy our community. Are you sick? Come here. Are you discouraged? Come worship with us. That is the mission statement of Jesus. Following the real Jesus means accepting his mission. God give us no other day than today to do that. My friends, the mission statement for our spiritual journey. Jesus preached to the spiritually poor. He will proclaim spiritual release of the captives. He provides recovery of sight. And he will set free those who are oppressed. Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. My friend, it's not about religion. It's about faith. And we don't like to hear about condemnation. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2 says, therefore there is no... Shall we read together as we pray, before we pray? Therefore... No condemnation. When we surrender our lives to him. Do you want to be free? Why not surrender your life to Jesus? Jesus went forward in the power of the Holy Spirit. Service, when we surrender our lives, becomes part of our life. The Son of God reveals himself in you, and out of your devotions to him, service becomes part of your life. May the Lord help us to go out as a church to do what the Messiah did for his glory. Amen. Let us pray. Father, help us to follow you. Help us to be obedient to you. Help us to do your mission. That what we need to preach to people first is the gospel. And then when the Holy Spirit comes, you will help us to serve you. And then the new ones will serve. Because they will do it, and we will do it. In your power. We will be set free from sin. We will be set free from oppression, from spiritual blindness. I pray for that person that he or she will be able to surrender his or her life to you. So that person could be free today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.